happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. He was considered a visionary in the music world. Brian Wilson, a co-founder of the legendary Beach Boys, has died. He was 82. I'm picking up good vibrations. Rolling Stones contributor Anthony DeCurtis.
An incredible artist of the highest order. And, you know, his death is just a stunning loss.
CBS's Jake Rosen reports a federal judge has ruled the government cannot deport Columbia University protester Mahmoud Khalil and must release him.
Marks a big blow to the Trump administration's public push to remove Khalil, a green card holder who was detained by immigration agents in March and is currently being held in Louisiana.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy has named 8 vaccine committee replacements for the advisors he abruptly fired this week. One is a scientist known for misleading criticism of COVID-19 vaccines. Stocks finished flat today. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The budget battle continues. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Governor Tony Evers is lying when he says Republicans won't agree to meaningful investments in education, childcare, and the UW system. Voss says Republicans are willing to make investments, just not the amount Evers wants. The Evers administration says the governor compromised on tax cuts, expecting compromise from Republicans in return. Savannah Tome Olson has more.
Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce emphasized that education is their main priority.
Things that we've heard over and over for years are what our taxpayers and voters in every corner of the state want funded, namely our kids' education, not just public K-12, although that's important, but also childcare, early childhood education, also the universities of Wisconsin and public higher education. Now, Republicans have made it clear that tax cuts benefiting the wealthiest are their top priority, both here and in Washington, D.C.
Meanwhile, Republicans had other priorities in the Tuesday meeting of the Joint Finance Committee, including food inspection and safety. Co-chair Republican State Senator Howard Markline.
In the Division of Animal Health, we're going to be adding 3 positions in that part of DADCAP. Concern there is that disease outbreaks are becoming more frequent, and we want to be prepared in the event of an outbreak.
Lawmakers also approved money for youth apprenticeship programs, workforce training grants, and for the Wisconsin Historical Society, which is building a new museum on the Capitol Square. Republicans say they're still on schedule to finish the budget by the end of the month. That's the deadline to get it all done and signed, or spending levels for municipalities, schools, and programs will remain the same. But even once they're done, the governor has the power to veto the budget or use Wisconsin's unique line item veto like he's done before. The Joint Finance Committee meets again tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
The Brewers fall to the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Braves today, 6-2. Milwaukee right-hander Chad Patrick struggled on the mound, giving up the first 5 runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced being in that spot, so maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through 5.
So the Braves leave town, winning the series 2-1. The Brewers beginning a 4-game home series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. NBA Finals, the Pacers, led by Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton, hosting the Thunder tonight. That series tied 1 game apiece. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Wide receiver Bo Melton asked what his brother, Max Bolton, a defensive back for the Cardinals, had to say when he learned that he was trying out at defensive back.
Yeah, so when he seen it, he called me like, what the hell are you doing? Just because, you know, I've been playing wide out. This is something that, you know, came up. I'm going to, you know, give it a shot.
That's the Packers' Bo Melton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms around, and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, more areas of rain, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s. Rain still likely Thursday night and Friday. Highs stay into the 70s. Right now, it's 76.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from Shawnee, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I've been waiting for you. So glad you're finally here. It is Wednesday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, and it's supposed to be summer. I don't know if it feels like summer to you. It doesn't necessarily to me, but it's still a beautiful night because we're all here together, and we've got some things to talk about, maybe some laughs to be had, lots of great stuff going on here tonight at Nightlight. Hope you had a great day. Great to have you here on the show, and I hope we can help you wind down from whatever your day brought you. Even if you had a lot of laughs already, let us inform and hopefully share a few smiles. Conrad, how you doing? How was your birthday?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So usually you're here a couple minutes after me every night, at least. I'm out the door by like 7:59 and 30 seconds. And last night, you made track so fast getting out of here. I thought, you're not just going home. You're going out to party with some friends and they're waiting for you.
No, I went home.
Really?
I told you I was going to go to the store, grab some chicken and make it. That's exactly what I did.
You didn't even get like takeout on your birthday? I would have sprung for that. I would have gotten you some fish tacos at Hagermeister Park or something like that, or the Heights.
I didn't want to spend that much money.
Okay. Even if it wasn't yours? All right.
Yeah.
You're just that kind of guy. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a good birthday. I know you're celebrating actually this Monday. I'm sorry, this weekend. And that sounds like a lot of fun. So we've got a great show tonight. This is exciting. Tonight, we've been talking a lot about Sydney Sweeney's Dr. Squatch product, which is a soap called Bath Time Bliss, I think. And it's Sydney Sweeney's bath water that they use to add to actual soap. So fellows or women or whomever wants to smell like Sydney Sweeney's bath water can use the soap, and it is quite expensive. What did we say? How much was it?
It now goes for like $1,000-something.
Per bar?
Yeah.
Or case?
No, they don't sell cases, actually. They only sell it by one.
They sell it by the bar.
Yeah.
And it's $1,000 a bar.
Yep.
And no one is using it to cleanse themselves.
Nope.
That's so
just smell
strange.
I went to Target a couple days ago, just was like, well, maybe they have it. No, they didn't.
Yeah, I don't think Target is.
No.
You know what's weird? Like, there's no way it's even her bathwater. I mean,
no.
It's not. It's probably nothing. Or it's probably the guy, like some dude's bathwater.
Well, I'm thinking they got one little small tube of it and put one drop in every one.
Probably, I'm sure. Because what is she supposed to do, bathe all day?
I mean, if you saw the photo shoot they did, she was in a bathtub.
Right. You had me at bathtub.
So maybe the bathtub from the photo shoot. You're like, all right, Sydney, get out. We're going to collect the samples.
Now Doug the janitor's going to hop in and get his hairy back all over the water. I just don't think there's no way they're doing that. It's just a big whatever. There's probably like three bars. So technically it's not
fraud. You know, they're like, anyway, we've got an actual executive. Bob Bremerton is going to be here at 6:35, and he oversees Sweeney Products LLC, I think it's called. We were able to get Bob. He's happy to come on and talk about some other products that Miss Sweeney will be selling, that all, I assume, other products involve parts of her body or I don't know, bodily fluids, whatever it is. But we'll talk to Bob at 6:35 and he'll give us the rundown. And maybe if you want, you got to get in on these products earlier. Because remember, like 2 weeks ago, Conrad, it was only $50 a bar or something like that, which is still outrageous. But
yeah, now it's just reselling like hotcakes, you know?
Yeah. And I stopped myself from making a terrible joke. So anyway, Bob will be here at 6:35. That'll be fun. We'll talk about some other Sydney Sweeney products that maybe you can get in on. And, you know, Father's Day is this weekend. Maybe your husband or significant other wants to, you know, be reminded of Sydney Sweeney on Father's Day. So we'll talk about all of that at 6:35 with Bob. Then our pal, Rich Tallarico. Rich is a Key and Peele writer. He's written for Mad TV. And I think Rich, last time he was here, said he did a season on Saturday Night Live, too. So Rich is hilarious. We'll talk to Rich. Maybe we'll get his take on the Sydney Sweeney bathwater soap dealio. And then Rich has a new product in the work, a project, I should say, in the works. And he's going to tell us all about that, too. That's at 7:06. What are we talking there? 6:49, right, Conrad?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. 6:52. And we'll keep Rich for a couple segments through the news. That'll be fun. Rich is always a blast. Those of you who don't know, Rich wrote the substitute teacher sketch for Key and Peele, which is hilarious. Do we still have a snippet of that?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find it. Maybe we can play it after the break. But Rich will be here at the end, near the end of the first hour. And then, this is exciting too, folks. Christina Laurie will be here. She's the editor of Up North News, and she... You know, Up North News makes Wisconsin fun. They put something out every day that is interesting. I don't know if it's a new way to look at the news or just a more fun way to look at the news, but it informs and it's just, it's enriching. It's fun to read about our state. And we're going to ask Christina about the best brats in Wisconsin, the best old fashions. We'll do kind of a summer theme. And she also did something recently about the 6 best beaches that are like ocean beaches here in Wisconsin. So we'll talk to Christina at 7:20. And that's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go any further, though, it would be horrible if I didn't inform you about our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. I know most of you probably listen to Civic Media throughout the day. I don't know where of this, but just in case you didn't know, you need the Civic Media app to play. I'm sure most of you already have that anyway. And it's so simple. At 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., or 4 p.m., just text in the keyword at those 4 times, and you are entered to win hourly prizes, which consist of $100 cash and Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. You cannot beat that. All you have to do is text in on the app a keyword. It's so simple. And by doing so, you're automatically entered into our grand prize round, which involves 2 summer trips, 1 to Door County and 1 to Baraboo, 2 beautiful spots in our state. And we're even throwing in gas money. Conrad, should we pump the gas for people or should we just give them the money and let them do it themselves?
You know, we're already giving them the money, so.
That'd be too needy, right?
Yeah, they can get out of the car.
They can get their own gas, damn it. You know what? To heck with it. We're not even doing the contest. Of course we're doing the contest. Outstanding prizes, folks. Be part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. It is so much fun, and you have until this Friday, June 13th. So you have 2 more days, really, Thursday and Friday. Once again, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., texting the keyword on the app, and you can win $100, brewer tickets, and a chance at our grand prizes, a trip to Door County or Baraboo, and gas money. So you cannot beat that. That's another fun contest we're doing here at Civic Media. You know, I think we need to get to our question of the night. What do you think?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Well, Conrad's birthday is in the rear view, folks, but that doesn't mean it didn't get me thinking. What age were you when you had your best year? What was your best year? Very simple. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I thought about this quite a bit today. And I think my 30th year, excluding when before my kids were in my life, my 30th year was my best year. I had a lot of fun stuff going on that year. Turning 30, I wasn't looking forward to it as a 20-something, but it turned out I had a great birthday in Marinette. I lived in Chicago at the time, but my wife and I road-tripped home. We had been married for about a year. We moved to L.A. that summer. I got cast in a show with Jim Gaffigan, and it was just a time of change and adventure. So I will say my 30th year was my best year, and I was surprised that was my year too, because I'm in no hurry to get older. 16 to get your driver's license. When I was 12, we moved to Wisconsin. That was an adventure too. I came here reluctantly as a 12-year-old, but ended up really enjoying it, having a blast. And now I call it my home as well. The big 4-0, I don't even remember what I did on my 40th birthday. 21 was a good birthday too. I went to DePaul University, and a bunch of my friends threw me a surprise party at a bar that I started the migration to, that I had been going to for a year. The owner of the bar said, "Wait a minute, you're turning 21 today." And he realized he had been serving me for a year when I was underage, but a cool guy. And that was fun too. But I'm going to say 30. Conrad, what about you?
You know, you think I would say 21, but when I turned 21, it was like right in the middle of COVID.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, it was still a fun night. I mean, I went to like a local bar back in Key Wascom with my parents. Cause out of my friends, I was the first one that turned 21. So they couldn't even drink with me.
So you went out with your parents.
I ended up, wow. I don't even know how many shots I took there, but the locals just kept buying me shots. Cause I was 21.
You did shots in front of your parents?
they bought shots
Holy
for me too.
Holy smokes.
I had a lot of shots that night, but at the end of it, it was like a party in my basement pretty much.
Okay.
But it wouldn't have been as cool. I was Milwaukee at the time. So like,
yeah, that's memorable.
I wish I could have spent my 21st in Milwaukee. I think that would have been more fun, but it still was a fun time.
They would have bought you less shots. People in Key Wascom probably knew you, knew your parents. They probably emptied their pockets to get
you
drunk.
They bought me a lot of shots. but I would probably say it was kind of cool having like a golden birthday where I can still remember kind of. My golden birthday was when I was 10.
When you were 10. Yeah. Okay.
So I still kind of remember. It was, you know, it's cool. Like just thinking about it, I guess.
Yeah. That's memorable during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, you're hanging out with your folks, you got good parents and, all right. So there you go. Conrad's 21st. With his golden birthday, a close runner-up, and me, I'm going to say my 30th. I just had a lot of fun stuff happening in my career and in my personal life, so I'll say 30. What do you say? Listeners, we need your help. What age were you when you had your best year? That is what we're talking about here. That is our question of the night, and we will read your texts after. We'll get to that after the break, I think. I'm very excited to talk to Bob Bremerton. This guy working hard to hustle Sydney Sweeney products. He's going to be here at 6:35. This is going to be an absolute blast, folks. I do want to say, you know, for weeks I've had this on the sheet, this runp.com. This is a website and I think an app that tells you when you should go pee during certain movies. And I meant to use it when I went to see Mission Impossible Final Reckoning, but I didn't. So now, do you remember that? I gave you homework. I asked you to look into that. Did you?
I reached out to them. They didn't have like a direct email or something that they had on their website.
Yeah.
So I went to their Facebook and they read it and ignored me.
Really?
Yep.
They don't want to. Do they know we have access to millions of people here at Nightlight with Peach Wama?
Trust me.
They're all listening at the same time.
I said it.
Okay.
I said,
You know what? Forget I even mentioned that. We're not going to promote them if they don't want to come on Nightlight and talk about their stupid run pee. It's a website that tells you when to pee. We don't need to promote that. Forget it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have that expunged from the record. All right. Fun stuff happening here. We're going to read your text when we come back, folks. And I'm going to tell you something funny. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are the same, whatever. Love me, you hate me.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Welcome back. I hear the sound of a gentleman. That is the voice and the music of Brian Wilson, who passed away. I think we were just made aware of it today, but I think it happened yesterday. His family made an announcement today. The founder of the Beach Boys, one of the founders, with his brother Dennis and Carl and their cousin Mike Love, were the Beach Boys. And it's funny. I don't know how the rest of you feel. I remember hearing nothing but the Beatles when I was a kid and how they were the greatest ever. And the Beach Boys were like sort of their more, not sterile, but less respected cousin. But I think that changed. Because I remember by the time I got to college, everybody I knew in that world, in the entertainment world, was calling Brian Wilson a genius and talking about how Pet Sounds was the greatest album ever made. And just such a great, and even in his later years, he wrote the song Love and Mercy, and just an absolute brilliant musician who wrote, I mean, Good Vibrations, In My Room, I Get Around, Sloop John B, all these fantastic songs. Gone at 82. I know he had some mental health issues and maybe some other physical issues. And I know there was a lawsuit about someone who was kind of helping him through his life and had a little too much control. But Brian Wilson's legacy, you know, the stuff you leave, the stuff some of these artists leave behind is incredible. Say what you want about their personal lives. And I don't know anything about Brian Wilson's personal life. I'm not singling him out, but man, oh man, the legacy they leave behind, the joy they have brought to people's lives through their artistry. And especially a guy like Brian Williams. We'll be playing Beach Boys song a lot throughout the course of the show during the bumpers when we come back from breaks. It's just soul enriching. It's great stuff. And it reminds you, it's this just the sound of summer. And I remember when I first moved to LA, being at the beach and going, oh my gosh, the Beach Boys, even though I don't even know how much time they spent at the actual beach. But I'm a huge fan. Absolutely love Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. You know, what's weird though, Conrad, I will say this, when someone who was not the main part of the band is still touring as the band,
I'm trying to think. I think it was the Spinners. There was like one vocal artist who was background who was touring as the Spinners still. And he's got a good voice, but he didn't really have much creatively or creative control over the Spinners. And I think that's kind of how it is. Mike Love was at least the singer of the Beach Boys, or one of the main singers. But he kind of took the band on tour too. Anyway, all right. Rest in peace, Brian Wilson. Our question of the night is, what was your best year? You could say favorite birthday, best year. What birthday launched your best year? I say 30. Conrad said 21. Let's read some social media text, shall we? Mike on social media says the best is yet to come. That's a good attitude, Mike. I think Mike's in his 60s. Yeah, you don't want it to be downhill. You still want to love getting up every morning. My pal Vince Morato, comedian, Chicago-based comedian. He's been on the show. He says, let's see, I was born in 1957, so 1956. Well done, Vince. Layman Rob on social media says when he turned 40 in 1997. Okay. Thank you, Rob. Layman, I mean. It's got to be Rob Layman, right?
I mean, Layman's a cool first name.
I think it's really cool. We know a layman that's a last name. You can rock it either way, I suppose. James Schenkenberg says, when I was 16, 1990. Thank you, James. Glad it was a good year. I hope you have many more years ahead of you. Monica Hale says, 21. I'm 58 now. It's all downhill from there, man. No, it's not, Monica. She says 46 comes in second. Okay. Reached my goal weight and finally got my BA clearly as a non-traditional student. Well, that's pretty cool. My Aunt Rosie, who sometimes listens to this show, my mom's sister, is like 86 now, I think, maybe 87. She became a doctor of religious studies, I believe. I think I'm getting that right. When she was like 80. So I love that people still want to achieve things in life. And it's important to do, too. You got to have a reason to get up every morning, right? So here's to those with positive attitudes. Let's go to the text line. We've got, so excited to have Bob Bremerton on the show. I can barely control myself. The text line, we got Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids says, I am waiting on the Sydney Sweeney fart bubble in a bottle extract perfume. Once that is released, will be my best year. Well done, Tyler. It's only a matter of time, too, buddy. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, I got mono and strep throat for my golden birthday back in 1974. Was not pleasant. Slept 20-plus hours a day for a week. Didn't even have any fun getting the mono. Okay, but Mark, what was your best birthday? What was your best year, not your worst year? That does sound like a terrible start to 1974, but I appreciate the text. There was something I wanted to read. Sean Hannish posted something, the director of Just a Bit Outside. I have to find that on Twitter because he had a great post, and we'll read that too. That's coming up. So what else, Conrad? What else we got? We got, did you get the donuts thing?
I did.
All right. So here's the lineup, folks. Bob Bremerton is going to be here after the news. He is a Sydney Sweeney Products LLC. He's going to talk about some other products we can look forward to from Miss Sweeney. And I've got a few products of my own I'm going to pitch to him. Maybe I'll pitch Tyler's. And then our pal Rich Tallarico, who wrote for Key & Peele and Saturday Night Live and Mad TV, will be here at about 6:40. About 6:50. Rich has a new project we're going to talk about. He's always fun to have on the show. And then Christina Laurie, we're going to talk about summertime food here in Wisconsin. She does it all at Up North News, and she's listed the best brat according to Food Network, the best old fashioned, and the best donut. I know we talked about donuts last week, but we can always talk about donuts. And she will be here at 7:20 tonight. So a fun show. Let us know what your best year was, folks. We are on the heels of Conrad's birthday, and I want to know what your best year was. Or your favorite birthday. All right, we're going to do all that. The news is up next. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Goodbye, she's my mind.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. With an update in the Judge Hannah Dugan case in Milwaukee, here's Joanne Krulatz.
The Trump administration argues that charges should not be dropped against a Wisconsin judge indicted for allegedly helping a man who is in the country evade U.S. immigration agents seeking to arrest him in her courthouse. Attorneys for the U.S. Department of Justice urged a federal judge on Monday to reject a motion filed by Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan seeking to dismiss the charges against her. Justice Department attorneys say dropping the charges would be unprecedented and allow judges to be above the law. A grand jury indicted Dugan on May 13th, and she pleaded not guilty ahead of a scheduled July 21st trial.
Meanwhile, Dugan's team has raised quite a bit of money to fight her case. Stuart J. Waddles has more about fundraising efforts.
Judge Hannah Dugan's legal team has raised nearly $138,000 from thousands of small donors. That's according to JS Online. Dugan is charged with concealing an individual to prevent arrest and obstruction. Prosecutors say she helped a man avoid immigration agents in her courthouse by escorting him out of a back door. Her attorneys have asked for charges to be thrown out, arguing she acted within her official judicial capacity. Federal prosecutors yesterday argued for charges to proceed.
Locally, area residents are looking forward to Bluegrass at the Lake. This three-day music festival kicks off on June 12th at Lake Wazeecha in Wisconsin Rapids. They have a full lineup of bluegrass and folk-centric bands for this family fun event. Thursday night, the music begins with Southbound at 6:30. On Friday, they'll have four bands playing from 4:30 to 11:30. And on Saturday, the music starts at noon and goes till 11:30. Touch a Truck is on Saturday from 10 to 2 and is free to the public. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms around, and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, more areas of rain, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s. Rain still likely Thursday night and Friday. Highs stay into the 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein with an update from the Capitol. Also, Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley on Your Money and the Markets.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
round, round, get around.
I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Schwabba and Nightlight, great to have you with me on this Wednesday night where there is no parking in downtown Green Bay. That's always fun. Seriously, though, what a terrible week for music. We lost, like I had anything to do with it or knew the guy. I didn't. Sly Stone, Sylvester Stewart, founder of Sly and the Family Stone, passed away. And now Brian Wilson. Just terrible. Our question of the night is, what was your best year? Conrad's birthday was yesterday. Sounds like he kind of took it easy on himself. But what age were you when you had your best year? I said 30. I had just moved to LA. I got cast in a pilot with Jim Gaffigan. And I had a great birthday celebration in Marinette, Wisconsin before my wife and I moved out west. It was just new adventure and fun and just a blast. My 30th year, which when people tell you that at 17, 30 sounds like 50. So I was blown away that I had so much fun as a 30-year-old, and now I'm 92, so it's all downhill. But let us know when your favorite year was. Conrad says 21. He got wasted with his parents. The whole town bought him shots in Keewaskum, yep, Wisconsin, during COVID. So that's memorable, too. Let us know what yours was, though. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. Or if you're watching, text us on the stream at Facebook, YouTube, and X-Twitter, or Twitter, or Twix. This is exciting, folks. Tonight, Christina Laurie is on the show in hour number two. Comedian, sketch writer, extraordinaire, and phenomenal actor Rich Tallarico will be joining us in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, with all the craziness going on around Sydney Sweeney's bathwater. That's right. If you haven't heard, we've talked about it excessively on this show, but they've added her bathwater to a soap that they're selling, and Conrad says it's $1,000 a bar right now. It's a little overpriced. So much for President Trump taking care of inflation. But we've got from Sydney Sweeney Products LLC joining us now over the stream. This guy's taking time out of his busy schedule to tell us about some other products, too, and what he's got going on over there at their LLC. Mr. Bob Bremerton joins us on the screen now. Bob, how are you?
You know, Peter, thank you for having us because we've had a heck of a time getting media attention and all we've heard is backlash. So thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
How do you feel about the fact that people that are buying Sydney Sweeney soap with her bathwater in it, most of them are probably men. They're willing to pay top dollar and a lot of them probably aren't using it to clean themselves. How do you feel about that, Bob?
Well, look, this is for anybody. This product is for anybody. And whatever you do with our products is completely up to you. We're not supervising the use of these products. And, you know, we want people to have fun with them. No holds barred.
Well, okay, fair enough. Have you tried the products, Bob? Like, do you have, like, a quality control there at Sweeney LLC?
You know, I am allowed to watch. I'm allowed to watch watch the extraction process. But it's a little out of my price range. I put all my money into the company.
Yeah.
And I cannot afford to buy our products. But I do want to talk. I have a few less expensive products. You did quote the price of the bar. So we have some more affordable products. Flag Day is coming up. I know a lot of people are going to be giving their Flag Day gifts. So sure. We have some things that people might be interested in.
Oh, I'd love to hear about a few if you don't mind.
Well, of course. Well, again, the bath soap, very expensive, but much more affordable is our hand wash runoff. Hand wash runoff, you know, the water that comes off your hands after you wash. We capture that when Sydney washes her hands. And we actually sell this as a beverage. Because we found there were so many wonderful flavors and varieties based on what she was, in fact, washing off her hands.
Which would be what? Any idea what, like, how? I can't imagine. She's a big, famous star, Bob. I can't imagine her hands get that dirty.
Well, you know, she does shake fans' hands. She does open doors like all of us. There could be COVID in the hand wash runoff beverage. You just don't know. It's a potpourri.
Oh, nice. What does that go for, Bob? What does the hand wash runoff go for? Now,
the soap is $1,000 a bar. This is $800.
Oh, that's pretty good.
For a bottle of our hand wash runoff beverage. But, you know, you don't have to drink it all at once. You can kind of sip, hang, you can nurse it.
I would imagine you could add that to other beverages, too, like make some type of cocktail out of it.
It's a great mixer. And as I said, Flag Day is coming up. There's going to be big Flag Day parties.
Yeah.
So this is the perfect beverage for summer, really.
I love it. All right. Well, that sounds like a great one. Conrad, you got $800? You could probably get on a payment plan, I would assume.
I'm hoping.
It's COD only.
Oh,
COD
really? Only. Okay. So you can't. I appreciate that, Bob, that you're not making us set up an account or, you know, give us all your information.
We do not want a paper trail.
Yeah. what else you got there, Bob?
Well, look, of course, we've got the eye drops. Now, these are made from Sydney's actual tears.
Ooh.
And the way we made this was we had to show her Schindler's List 100 times to get the tears that we needed. But she's so shallow, the only reason she was crying was because the movie was in black and white. But we do have that on the market. We have our very, very in demand. We're working on these right now. Our earwax candles, and these come from her actual earwax. And due to how tone deaf Sydney has been, we suspect that she had a lot of wax in her ears. They do not disappoint. These are all natural wax. The wicks are made from Sydney's dandruff woven together in a sweatshop. And they only come in one fragrance because no matter what we did to the earwax candles, they always smelled like one thing.
Wait a minute. Sydney Sweeney has dandruff with all those access to all those products and Hollywood hair people?
Yes, well, it's extracted. It's extracted. And it's a benefit to her, too, because it's kind of like, you know, how monkeys clean each other. She appreciates us picking off her her dandruff. And, yes, these candles smell like burnt raisin, if anyone was wondering. So if that's the scent you're trying to put in your home, then this could be for you.
That's interesting. And it's disappointing that she had to watch Schindler's List so many times just to get some tears going. Is she, you don't want a bad mouth. I'm sure you have a business relationship with her, but is she heartless or what's going on there?
Look, she's just shallow, you know, and a lot of people are today. So she's really the norm and she's shallow and, you know, she really only cared about the fact that the movie was in black and white. That's what upset her. And that's how we got the tears.
All right. I'm not going to buy
it. We have a room spray that's made from her actual breath.
Oh,
and,
is
that's
it
right.
Like,
you can use it in the car. You can use it to freshen up your suitcase if you want your suitcase to smell like chicken soup and Marlboros.
Chicken soup and Marlboros. Does she floss? I want to ask that because I don't know.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned floss, Peter, because we have floss made from her hair.
Oh, wow. That's
now,
interesting.
We noticed she's a beautiful woman. She's got very good genes and her hair is extremely strong. And we actually have one dentist approval, you know, the 4 out of 5 dentists. Well, the one that always sat the other vote out, he voted for us on the floss. So we have 1 out of 5 dentists recommend Sydney's hair floss. They come in different lengths, depending on what part of the body the hair was taken from.
That's horrible. Wait, can you? I would think you'd have no trouble getting the other 4 dentists to approve. Can't you slip them a bar of the Sweeney soap or something and get them on board?
Look, these guys have had a reputation, a sterling reputation for years.
That's fair.
Of only backing Trident gum. So we found the outlier. We said, who's that 1 out of 5 that won't? He's a real pervert. So it's wonderful.
My guest is Bob Bremerton. He is he works for Sweeney Products LLC, and he is giving us a rundown of some of the products that are available to the public that don't cost $1,000, like her bar of soap does. That was put out by Dr. Squatch. I love how you guys swooped in to get the other products though from her bodily whatever. That was pretty shrewd business there, Bob.
Well, because look, who can afford $1,000 for a bar of soap? Not in this economy. And look, stocking stuffers, do you have a musician in your family? We've got actual guitar picks made from her scabs.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go toenails there, but you went a little deeper there. That's look,
Her lower body is covered in scabs. I don't know the medical reason why, but we've been drying them in the sun, and they are perfect. We're reaching out to Keith Richards to see if he will endorse.
Oh, that'd be a heck of an endorsement. Yeah, no question about that. So that's great. So how much does a scab, a guitar pick go for?
They're still going to be $300 each.
Each?
Because this is the actual physical matter of Sydney, and we know it's in demand, but that's one of our lower products. That's one of our lower.
What I like about it, Bob, is it's Sydney in pain. It's another side of her. It's not just this whimsical, beautiful Sydney Sweeney. There's some turmoil there. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
What else you got? I'd love to pitch you a few too, but I want to get through yours too, because
I got a couple more, and I'd love to hear yours. You tell me how much time we got. I'd be very happy.
Oh, we've got about 4 minutes, Conrad. How are we doing on time? Three or four minutes? Okay, yeah. Why don't you keep going, Bob?
I'll run through a couple, and I'd love to hear your pitches, because we've also got, you remember that campaign, Got Milk? Well, we've got her hooked up to a milker 24/7.
Oh, dear.
And, It's exhausting for her. We do have some complaints from the FDA and PETA, who are coming after us.
PETA?
So that's gonna be a hot product, because we're using an actual cow milking machine. But look, if that's too gross, what about upcycled facial masks? It's like a tea bag. You can get a second use.
Oh, no kidding! I love that.
Yes,
that's fantastic. So
this is good for the environment too.
See, she does care.
Of course.
Yeah.
And these products are extremely limited. They're all natural. They come completely from her. And there will be no tariffs on these products because she is from the United States.
Oh, I love that. Oh, you guys have thought all of this through. That is just outstanding. So, all right. Are you okay? I know you probably get people all the time coming up to you, Bob, saying, hey, I got a Sydney Sweeney product. I don't want to be that guy. Conrad and I put our heads together. We've given this some thought. We just have a couple minutes, so if it's okay with you, I'll run these by you.
Please, let's hear it.
How about a toe jam hacky sack? Have you thought about something like that?
Mm-hmm. And maybe the skin of the sack needs to be maybe elbow skin, that very tough skin on your elbow.
Oh, I like that.
You can kind of drive a nail through it, you don't feel anything. I think that'd be a great way to kind of house the hacky.
I think, too... I think, too, it's nice that there's libations coming out of this. How about belly button sweat julep?
Hmm. Especially now, the belly button is one of the sweatier areas on a person.
Right. But it's Sydney Sweeney sweat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think so. I think that's a go.
Okay. Oh, really? Nice. Did we trademark that, Conrad? Make sure you get that. Sydney Sweeney loogie flavored Irish coffee creamer.
Mm. Yes. I think this is fantastic because, the fun of putting creamer in the coffee is watching it go through the coffee, watching it swirl around. With a loogie, it's going to be more viscous. There's going to be, it's like swallowing the worm with tequila at the end. You're going to get that salty loogie at the end, and that's the real treat. That's going to be one of our higher priced.
And these might be kind of long shots, Bob, but we got to run soon because we have another guest coming on. But Sydney Sweeney vegetarian snot dogs is one. And then how about fudge brownie bites? I won't tell you where those come from. Okay, Bob Bremerton, thank you very much for your time. Good luck. Sell, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope. This is Beach Wob and Nightlight. We're coming right back with Rich Tallarico on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cause it's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Help strike out hunger. The Rafters and United We Can are partnering together for the annual Canned Food Drive, Tuesday, June 17th. Teams are invited to build sculptures out of canned goods at Witterfield. Bring two non-perishable food items to the ticket office May 26th to June 17th to receive a bleacher ticket to any Rafter game. And don't forget to vote for your favorite food sculpture. Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and the United Way Can Drive.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods,
to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau time.
Welcome back.
You cannot, I don't know if I've ever met someone who didn't like the Beach Boys. So, Brian Wilson, I have all their albums. I cannot thank him enough for his contributions to mankind. Great stuff. Our question of the night is, what was your favorite year? On the heels of Conrad's birthday, let us know. Text us, stream us, app us, however you could do it. Christina Lori is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk about some of our favorite Wisconsin summer foods. She puts all these lists together on Up North News. So much fun. And she gets a lot of info about Wisconsin food from the Food Network. The Food Network has favorite Wisconsin products, too. We'll talk to Christina about that at 7:20. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight one of our frequent flyers here. He's become a good pal. And it's always fun to have him on the show. He has written for Key & Peele, SNL. And while he was at Key & Peele, by the way, Conrad, I don't know if you knew this, he wrote the substitute teacher sketch.
Oh, that's a great sketch. That's a great sketch.
Great sketch. And he's written for Mad TV and SNL and Jay Leno, and he's got all kinds of amazing writing credits. The very funny Mr. Rich Tallarico. Hey, buddy, how are you?
All right, Pete. Conrad, thanks for having me.
Wait, are you hanging with Bremerton tonight?
I'm at the Bremerton place. This is one of his the ladies that he dates lives here. He doesn't live here.
Oh, okay. I imagine that. He's a mover and a shaker. You're in good company, buddy. But Rich, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How you doing?
Pretty good. So you told me the other day when we talked that you're chilling in central or near Niagara Falls, right?
Yes, I can see the mist from here. I'm very close to Niagara Falls. And I'm here for a few months. I'm producing a project based on a script of mine about the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, a lady named Annie Edson Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, is she the same person you sent me this? All right, I got confused. I thought that's outstanding. That thing like writes itself, I would imagine.
It really did. I went to sleep and elves came into the room and wrote it when I was sleeping.
All right. I love this. And she was not a spring chicken when this happened, right? Tell us all about Annie Edson Taylor, please.
No, she was a fall turkey at that point. She was a 63-year-old charm school teacher, Victorian, proper, taught young women how to acquire husbands through grace lessons, through manners. And she did well, and she taught around the country, kind of had some, you know, crisscrossing the U.S. teaching her classes. And she settled in Bay City, Michigan in the late 1800s and opened a charm school. But the problem was it failed because a lot of young women, as the century was turning to the 20th century, were interested in becoming suffragettes, were interested in finding a voice. They didn't care about wearing corsets and, wow, you know, acquiring husbands through grace classes. So she really hit the skids and was about to kill herself when she got a realization that she could reverse her fortunes if she became a daredevil. So the script is called The Widow Daredevil, and it's about how she does complete this stunt. Her manager, and this is based on a true story, steals her barrel and goes on a speaking tour without her. And then 10 years later, a man does the stunt and goes over the falls in a barrel and gets all the credit and accolades and world fame that she never did.
Okay, that makes sense now, because when you said that, I could swear, I didn't want to sound stupid. I was like, wait a minute, I thought a guy did that. So how did you find this story, Rich? Is it because you're from that area, or do you have a connection to the estate or something?
No. I remembered Annie because when I was younger, I grew up in near Utica, New York, in a little town called Frankfort, if anyone is familiar. And, you know, we would come to Niagara Falls for school trips. And, you know, my family took us here, and there were always displays about Annie and this little lady and her barrel that she basically reinforced and welded and did all the design. And, you know, she built straps in it for her to hold on to. And I mean, you think about like a race car driver, you know, they're going hundreds of miles an hour and they have all this protection.
Yeah.
All she had was like a little heart-shaped pillow that she kind of held in place on her head. And then they closed the barrel, and the wall of the ceiling of the barrel held that, you know, heart-shaped pillow on her head. And she went over the falls. And a lot of people tried it after her. There was a guy who went over, and when they found the barrel, all that was in there was his arm. So she was, you know, very smart. She knew how to do it, and she worked hard to, you know, complete the stunt. And she famously said, "I'd rather be dead than have no money."
Every once in a while, you know, I love running across characters like this. As they get older, and it kind of plays into our theme tonight, like Teddy Roosevelt resigned as the Undersecretary of the Navy and led a charge up a hill because he didn't want to send guys into battle. Annie Edson Taylor was broke, and she turns into a daredevil. Like, where are these people in modern day society, Rich? You don't see people like this anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know where they are. I guess we'll have to inspire some with our project. But, you know, the story beyond that, you know, it did end in kind of a sad way because she never really got her due, and she lost her eyesight eventually, and she moved to the falls, and she would sell these pamphlets with her life story in them. And that's how she kind of lived out her days. So for the film version, you know, I was thinking, well, I want to find what's the positive ending here, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, she taught for many generations. You know, she taught a lot of young women. They had to have been watching her. They had to have been inspired by her courage. And the subtitle of the movie is Barrels of Courage. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's a young woman that, you know, that helped the suffragettes get the right to vote. And maybe it was inspired by Annie. So I kind of created another character, which is fictitious, but she does stay with Annie through all of her adventures because Annie hired detectives to try to find the barrel. So that's in the story. And then I also have some scenes where she's, you know, crossing paths with people like Tesla and, you know, people from the temperance movement.
Very cool.
Carrie A. Nation. There's a scene with her and Carrie A. Nation, which is
Rich, let's pick it up. Let's pick it up right here after the news, okay? We're coming right back. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight with Rich Tallarico. Let me go home.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Almost a week into Los Angeles protests now occurring in other major cities over ICE raids. CBS's Elise Preston near a federal building in L.A. reports.
Some out here making their voices heard, upset about the deportation policy. Some people not so sure. We've seen people kind of dancing and distracting from the message.
A small portion of downtown L.A. again will be under an overnight curfew.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
They made people want to ride the waves and dance on the sand. Beach Boys leader Brian Wilson has died at 82. His family is asking for privacy. He was the eldest and last surviving of three musician brothers. The U.S. and China say they have agreed on a framework to resolve their trade dispute. Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says President Trump...
He spoke to his trade team, who did a fantastic job negotiating this on behalf of the United States and meeting with their Chinese counterparts. The president is talking to them about the details of it now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.